This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore. We have Angela McDonald back with us today. Angela is a Scottish lass and has been over here a good number of years now. If you haven't heard an earlier episode with Angela, then I recommend that you go back and listen to episode 4, where she specifically discusses BPOs, and she has a vast amount of experience in that. So today we are talking recruitment. Prior to Angela's position in Deployed, which is the current BPO, she worked in recruitment. So she has vast experience in recruitment within the Philippines. So it's a really good talk. There's a lot of gems in there. And then we also, I suppose, edge into the cultural significance and processes and BPO and things like that. So enjoy the episode. If you want to get in touch with Angela or Deployed, then go to our show notes, and you will find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode24. Enjoy. Okay, Ange, good to have you today. Today we're going to talk about recruitment, and as anyone knows, anyone with any employees, a recruitment process is a necessary step to getting employees, and it's absolutely no different here in the Philippines. Whether you go through a BPO, Upwork, or you have your own entity and you're getting your own staff, there's a process of recruitment, and obviously here as well, there's a number of recruiters and firms that do that for you. Angela has fantastic experience in the recruitment field, working mm-hmm. for two of the key recruiters in Manila here. And I think as well, maybe you can just give us a bit of background, but focusing on high-level management, focusing on a lot of expat clients, and a whole range of stuff. But what I also want to go into then is also the processes, and is it really any different to any other country, or is it really just the same, just in different countries? So, do you want to just, I suppose, start sure. by outlining your experience?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here in the Philippines, there's so many recruitment companies. It's unbelievable. I think some of them have a bit of bad reputation, and it can be a bit frustrating when you're working with them. The majority of the clients I dealt with were from Australia. That was our initial market, which was great. Obviously, culturally wise, you can speak really frankly and get to the bottom of what they were wanting and be not direct, but set expectations is probably the way I would think is the best way to go. So, I mean, my advice is if you're using a recruitment company here, select one or two a push to go for it. One of the things that my clients used to say to me was that they were often having to chase up for proposals, response, feedback, and it is frustrating, and it will happen here with some of the agencies. So that should be your first point when you're checking is, are they responsive? Are they getting the figures across to me or the rest of it?
You should setting expectations as well.
Absolutely. If they're just taking a job description and running with it, saying, yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, I've got it. No problem. Then go silent and throw people over to you. They're not going to understand the brief. The other, from being obviously from interviewing candidates and clients, the other issue we saw with too many people doing it was that the candidates were getting really confused over what the brief for the job was. Was it the same company? Right. Who owned the candidate? The recruitment company obviously get paid a commission. Mm. So if you've got two different companies fighting over the same candidate, your candidate is going to go, I'm out of here.
And they're obviously scouring the same sort of pool of leads and the same
It gets a bit of a meat market. I think it's better to invest with one really good solid company that are going to be at your, not beck and call, but are really going to be your personal consultant, that are going to push back and say, right, okay, that's a rare skill here. Is this a nice to have or is it essential? Have an estimate, a budget to work on. Don't just throw a budget to the recruiter and say, right, 20,000 pesos, $500 for, you know, a 10-year skilled front-end developer, and the recruiter just go, okay, and get nothing. Make sure that they are shortlisting, screening, interviewing, and endorsing.
There's a value in building a relationship with your recruiter as well, isn't there? Because, you know, as they get to know you, they get to know your culture, your staffing needs, then it's easier to fill upcoming positions as they come. And also they'll keep an eye out and they will get in touch with you if there's just someone on the scene that might suit your needs.
You That's know? Right. A good recruiter would do that. They would have a look at this. Say I was recruiting for you, Derek, and I'd be like, God, that's a bit like Derek's model here, you know, and basically give you first dibs. This has come across my desk. Mm. Don't know if you're looking for someone, but here you go.
And we have indeed done that in the past.
We have done that, yes.
So, and the, there's interesting stepping stones I find within the BPO sector. A lot of people might, you know, there's a bit of a trodden path, and a lot of people toying with the idea of getting outsourcing staff or remote staff. They might start on Upwork. Then they might want to formalize it more, get more staff. It's ideal to go through a BPO. But then once you've been with a BPO for a while, typically, I mean, 90% of the time, BPOs will source the staff for you. But eventually then, even if you're still with the BPO, you might want to reach out to a recruiter just to test the market yourself and see what's out there. Or maybe for a very senior position, you might want to go to a recruiter just so that you're not then relying on your BPO to feed you everything. And so it gives you a different perspective. It takes you out to the broader market.
And, you know, at times BPOs do have to advise their clients that they are using independent recruiters or headhunters. Because if it is a really rare skill or, you know, very niche or, you know, whatever industry that it is in, then it's good to have that option of reaching out to somebody that can work and just focus 100% of their time on that. I think, you know, BPOs are really good with their recruitment to a specific level. And then when it gets to, you know, the Top Gun kind of things, the best of the best of the best, you do need some additional support in that.
Because recruitment is never an easy job. I mean, there's you know, a million management and business books written about how to do recruitment well, and it's no different in this country. And also, it's no different if you sign a contract with a BPO and they go out and find your staff. It's still a big job for them to find your staff and to find good staff that will stick with you and do a good job. And especially, you know, BPOs are either generalist or they're very specialist, but if you want a very specific role, then it's probably going to take longer. So also then it might be an idea to go out to recruiters and have a look around yourself. So in terms of fees then, you know, and it's interesting to note that maybe a lot of these things are very similar, but it's worth remembering that basically, you know, everything is cheaper because salaries are cheaper, fees are cheaper, everything is relatively cheaper. So what is the fee structure typically for a recruiter?
I think you could go from anything from 10% of the gross annual compensation all the way up to 20% for an executive position. Like you said, it sounds a lot, but, you know, 20% of something that's costing you $1,000 of a salary isn't...
Have a look around and play around a little bit,
Or they sometimes do 1 month or 2 months salary, whichever the...
Interesting. And, I imagine it depends, that's flexible, it depends how many positions you're taking, how well you know the recruiter. So a lot of it is relationship-based pricing.
Sure. And then probably your replacement guarantee would be factored into the amount that you were paying. So if you were, it could be anything from 1 month up to 6 months. So if you were paying 20% of the gross annual compensation, you would be wanting to try and fight for a 6 month or five or 6 month replacement guarantee, but they're usually negotiable.
Okay, and how reliable are those replacement guarantees? So effectively that means if it doesn't work out or the employee leaves within 1, 2, 3, 6 months, the recruiter will replace, is that right?
Yeah, the recruiter will replace the candidate, which can be challenging. In my experience, all recruitment companies I've come across, if they can't fill the role, they won't give you a refund, but they'll give you a credit note for a future search. So that's why, again, right at the very start, when you select, and make sure you've read all the terms.
Okay, and what is the talent pool like? So we obviously know, like, the Philippines is famed for what they call voice, so that's any sort of telephone support, customer support. But what is the talent pool like? What is the availability of English, you know, very good English, spoken English, high tech skills, very specific tech skills?
Talent pool is really good for obviously English, with the accents very neutral at the moment, so they've helped the industry boom. So whether it's doing voice roles or just communicating, and content writing is really good, so they're familiar with writing the English. It tends to be more of the American spelling sort of side of things,
yeah.
But that's really good. A lot more candidates are leaving university with, you know, degrees in accounting, IT, social studies, lots of weird and wonderful things are coming on. IT seems to be the most high demand at the moment. A lot more of the techs come in here from India. India is still the best for tech, but a lot more are starting to come here now.
And I found that specific niches, tech niches, it's a pretty thin market. Yeah, you know, I was trying to find Salesforce developers for a long time. Mm-hmm. I hear Ruby on Rails is pretty difficult to find, and if it's a pretty specialized niche, then it's a pretty thin market. Anyone that's good is probably already employed, and it can take a long time to find someone that's pretty strong.
Yeah, look, I mean, the bottom line is, if it's hard to find for you at home and it's expensive for you to find at home, it's going to be exactly the same here. They're going to need a little bit more love and attention. They're going to need competitive offers. They're going to take a little bit more nurturing, because they actually have their pick where they want to go. So you've got to add something else, whether it's training. My advice would be, take someone with these skills as a nice to have, and have somebody in your front office that can help take them up to speed. It's also a good retention thing, because they're learning a new skill.
Right. And what are some of the most popular roles that that the Philippines carries out here?
Front and back end developers, iOS, Android, graphic designers, accountants, bookkeepers, admin. The list goes on. There's been some really weird and wonderful positions we've done. But digital marketing seems to be really big just now, and taking up the tech space and the content writing sort of space, because it covers quite a few different areas, and definitely accounting.
And one unusual, you spoke earlier about the gross annual compensation. Talk to me about that, because it's in the Philippines, they uniquely have a 13th month or possibly even a 14th month or a 15th month. Mm-hmm. What's going on there with that?
So the 13th month is an extra month pay, which is paid in December. It's mandatory by law. I can't remember who brought it in, but I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's mandatory by law here. So it means in December, usually on or before the 15th of December, they get an extra month pay. If they've just started, obviously it's prorated. So when you're speaking about gross annual compensation for a recruitment company, that's probably included.
And it's a point of negotiation now, isn't it? Because the 13th month, so in whatever you look at monthly, then you've got to realize that you've got to pay 13 months in a year, obviously. But higher level executives, I think they can negotiate 14th month, 15th month.
Yeah, some of the bigger corporations do have like 14th month, 15th month, maybe more performance-based related. you would if you're using a BPO, it's easy because they will, when they're paying, charging you monthly for the employee related expenses, they will have it prorated on, so there'll be a little bit extra on each month. Mm. The last thing you want to do is have a team of 10 people and pay 10 people an extra month's salary in December and you haven't got any budget set aside for it.
And again, that's the power of a BPO, isn't it, to help guide you through these things when you're new to the culture. Yeah, it's really an incredible culture in a way, just talking about the talent pool. It is one of the only places in the world, really, of a developing country that has such a true affinity to spoken English, and it's now almost their natural tongue. Mm-hmm. India is very strong in technology, but they don't have the same level of communication.
Mm-hmm.
As well, with, I think, about 500 years ago, the Philippines was introduced to Christianity as well. So with the combination of English and the similar sort of Catholicism value systems, then they're very closely culturally aligned to the West, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Whether that's the US or the UK, Australia, New Zealand, provides a very powerful combination, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Ange. Thanks for that insight.
No worries.
Hope you enjoyed that episode with Angela McDonald of Deployed. If you want to get in touch with Angela or Deployed at all, if you want their transcripts, go to our show notes. You can find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast episode 24. See you next time.